through 18 this week. And by the way, I have enjoyed the study. I'm really enjoying Sunday school now, just sitting back and listening. What Gary points out, what you guys are contributing, it's good. Man, I like that. And it's been enjoyable. In fact, I started writing notes next to my notes what I'm preaching on this morning, and I think I have more handwritten notes than what I have typed for my message this morning, things that I thought of during that time. But in 2 Samuel 16 through 18, we read of the death of a rebel. And of course, Absalom, David's son, raised up against him to overthrow David and to take over his father's throne. And we read of his death as his head got stuck in a tree. And I've been picturing that all week, riding along in his mule. And I think Brother Roloff, I got to get you the biography of Brother Roloff. Boy, he's one of my heroes. And he has a message saying called "The Mule Walked On." And the mule just walked on and got his head stuck up in the tree as, of course, his life was finally taken there. The death of a rebel in chapter 16 through 18. And also, I've been looking at it this way. The death of another rebel. And his name was David. And, you know, God put people in the Bible, and there's a lot of interesting people that God put in the Bible. Wednesday night, I just gave you a list of a number of folks that were mentioned in this week's reading. And I hope you take time to read some things about them. Rather than just sometimes we read through the Bible, and I've enjoyed this time going real slow and studying the books of Samuel, learning some more things about these people has helped me tremendously. The death of a rebel in David. And then I'm more concerned about the death of another rebel, and that is myself. Because by nature, all of us are real rebels against God, and we need to learn to die to that. There are many interesting places and people mentioned in these chapters. One of them that we kind of passed over that, I wanted to preach a whole message on him was a man named Barzillai. And how do you pronounce these names? Everybody's got a different pronunciation. I was listening to Gary pronounce some of them. He pronounced them different than I do. And the Bible app that I use that reads it to me, they pronounce it different than both of us. So I'll just do it. Since I'm preaching, I'll pronounce it the way I want to, okay? Barzillai, the Gileadite. We're not going to talk about him today, but he is a fascinating character that I think we're going to come back to him sometime along the line. But I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter number 16 this morning. And I want to read a rather lengthy section of Scripture, so I'm not going to have you stand as we do often when we read the Word of God. But I want you to follow along in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 16, and beginning in verse number 5, and we're going to read through a story of a man named Shimei, or I think Gary was saying Shimei. I think the app that I use that I listen to sometimes, it says Shimei or something. But however you want to pronounce it, all right? I'm going to pronounce it Shimei because that's how I'm used to saying it. And again, I like to listen to Lester Roloff. He had unique pronunciations of everything. So when the King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with thee, with ye, ye son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. And it may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And the Lord and his men went by the way. Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. And Absalom and all the people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Now we're going to stop there. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning. I pray that you would speak to us, help us to see some simple truths of this man, David. It illustrated in the life of Shimei and his confrontation of David. Bless now our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you like how Abishai said, "Let's kill him. Let's take care of him." I was reading something this week, and I like to read a certain time in history of a fellow named George Rogers Clark that fought during the Revolutionary War and fought with the Illinois Regiment. He actually became the founder of the county, which became the state of Illinois. He's a great man, but he was a man a lot like Abishai. He said, "Man, you shoot first and ask questions later. You kill them all off, and then we'll sort out the dead bodies afterwards." And that's kind of the way he was. By the way, he had a brother. Now, George Rogers Clark wanted desperately to go. You've heard of the Lewis and Clark expedition? He was the one that was the first choice. Had he have gone in that expedition instead of his little brother William, things would have turned out a whole lot different, if you're familiar with that. But it takes different personalities. It's interesting to look at the personalities of this different people. Now, I don't know how I got started on that, but when I read this, the handout that I gave you had a little thing about Shimei, okay? And I gave you a number of names on there and just what some Bible dictionaries say about him. And Shimei, there are about a dozen Bible characters with this same name. And we'll go through all of them. But the name Shimei means famous. Found that interesting. He was a Benjamite, the house of Saul, who stoned and cursed David when he reached Beharim in his flight from Jerusalem on the occasion of the rebellion of Absalom. That's the verses that we just read. After the defeat of Absalom, he came clinging to the king, humbly suing for pardon, bringing with him 1,000 of his Benjamite tribesmen, and representing that he was heartily sorry for his crime, and had hurried the first of all the house of Israel to offer homage to the king in chapter number 19. We'll read about that next week. David, now this is good. Now this goes, I gave you this so you can read what happened to these people after our reading. David, of course, in chapter 19 forgave him. But on his deathbed, he gave Solomon special instruction regarding Shimei, whose fidelity it seems to have been in doubt. In 1 Kings chapter number 2, he was put to death by the command of Solomon because he had violated his word by leaving Jerusalem and going to Gath to recover 2 of his servants who had escaped. So let's put some things about Shimei so you can read what happened to him a little bit later than our reading. But for right now, we're focused on this person, Shimei, and his reaction to David as David was leaving Jerusalem, fleeing from his own son who was overthrowing David's kingdom. And of course, the next chapter we're going to read about about Absalom's death. But David, and I want to focus on him for a few moments this morning. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the people's second choice, but God's first choice as a king of Israel. He was a man who experienced great victory, yet also great defeat. He was a man in whom we see the best of Christian conduct and also the worst of human foolishness. He was a man chosen and blessed, yet he was also a man who was despised and rejected by some. Sounds like really all of us can identify with David, can't we? Sure, God uses us in spite of ourselves, and we're grateful for that. Father, I pray that you would teach us to walk humbly with our God, to love mercy, to do justly, and Lord, to be the people that you called us to be. In this dark world, it's easy to jump in the fight, and jump on the bandwagon one side or another, and really disgrace the name of Jesus Christ and instead of being the Christians that you've called us to be. It's easy to lose focus on what's truly important in light of eternity. The souls of lost men that are crying out all around us, and yet we get so wrapped up in our own little world, in our own ministries even, in our own families, that we lose sight of those that need you. God, I pray that you would break us and open our eyes to God's eternal nature. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn some things by just looking at maybe an overview of David's life today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see today, as you've got an outline there in your bulletin, David was a broken man, and he was broken in order to be blessed. It's interesting to look at the different stages of David's life and some of the things that was discussed in Sunday school this morning. Again, I won't go back there, but it was so good. David was definitely a different person at this particular time in his life, wasn't he? He didn't respond the way he would have earlier in his life to Shimei. He was a broken man. And I think David, as he was getting older, and I experience this in my own life, as we get older, we begin to see things differently. And really, we begin to see God's overall plan a little bit clearer, don't we? I got a little plaque that I thought it was so good, I had to get it for myself. It says, it's weird being the same age as old people. That is kind of weird. It's amazing how differently. And then yesterday, we were asked to go participate. They wanted to use our bus in the parade yesterday down in Princeton. We started a church down there a number of years ago. The church is still going. They're struggling a little bit right now because they're doing actually good for as long as they've been without a pastor. There's a couple of good folks in there that are holding things together and doing a good job with what they have. And I was surprised, and I complimented how nice the building looks and everything. They fed us well. Garrison ate everything that they know. Garrison wanted to come along. They wanted to borrow our bus for the parade. They said, well, the problem is, too, we need a driver, too. So I got to drive in a parade yesterday down in Princeton. To make a long story short, while we were down there, we just got fellowshipping with some of the folks there that some of them, I guess all of them that were there, I've known for some time. They gave me one of these. Anybody recognize that? Oh, boy, this has been fun to look at. This is a church directory from our church in 1999. Whoa. It's been interesting. I just thumbing through this and oh my, how I see things different now than I did back then. The first page here that's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 families on it, and I got counting over a dozen of those folks are in heaven right now. Some great memories, and then some things that just tear your heart out. I look on this page, and Oh my, I showed it to Connor while he was up here. Rex and Cindy and Cody. I guess they didn't claim Connor for that picture. That was before he was born. They don't claim him now, but this was before he was born. And Rex and Linda and Carrie, she was still a teenager then, I guess. And Todd and Amy, they don't have any children yet, but they've got their grandson, Carson. Oh, no, that's Alex. Oh, wow, that's strange. And the three Hicks families, Mr. Mustache, that was before I could grow facial hair. So, they all had mustaches. I see some unusual characters in here. Some folks are gone. Some folks in heaven are gone. And I look at on the first page. I guess I was there. Our family, these four little kids. I don't know how Chloe is, a few years old then, and. I think this was maybe one of the last years we were in. We used to be in the parade all the time with one of our buses, and it's kind of funny to look back at it now because we had all the kids dress up like clowns and run along, pass out track. Now kids are afraid of clowns. Clowns are a bad thing today. Back then they were fun, and that's how different our world is. But I was just thinking about the fact that there's a young preacher that's still wet behind the ear, doesn't know what in the world's going on half the time, and had great goals and great desires, and things don't always turn out the way that you plan. I look back and look at some of these folks that were such a blessing at one time and then also became folks that did all they could but to destroy this preacher and oh, they're Don and Pam. Oh, my, your kids were little back then. I should put these pictures up on the screen. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, maybe tonight. I'll scroll them up on the screen, maybe, just let you all see it. Some of you probably still have that at home, but that might have been the last church directory that we had a photographer come in. We've done a couple that we just did on our own, but it's kind of fun to reminisce, and it's kind of amazing when you go back on life and you start to see things differently. And I think David was at a point in his life where he was looking back and, you know, when God anointed him as king, he thought, wow, I get to sit on the throne. No, I get to go in hiding for the next 10 years or so, living in caves, hiding from a crazy king that's out to kill me. And then he gets on the throne and, of course, he messes up big time. And God doesn't kill him, which he justly deserved, and he understood that. God let him live, but he said, you're going to live with the consequences for your sin for the rest of your life, and your children are going to turn again, and all the things that were going to happen. And now he looks back as a broken man, but still a blessed man. And sometimes I look back and I look at that directory and look back over the years that God has used us here. And some of those faces, I see folks that, I mean, a couple, I don't mean it's in a negative way. God's used it to teach me some things. I've got a couple of plaques and things that the world's greatest pastor, and a couple months later, those same people. You're the biggest idiot there ever was on the face of the earth. And that's just the way people are. And you learn to grow with that and learn to go through that. But David, I'm sure, would look back and say, wow, this is not what I had planned. This is not what I had expected. But I do see this in David. He was a broken man and a blessed man. But we need to always remember this. First and foremost, David was a man. He was a man made of the same flesh and blood you and I are made of. Anybody we follow is made the same flesh and blood that any one of us is. We're all made of the same stuff. He failed in many ways. Now, of course, we have the advantage of hindsight, we can go back and look at David's life. We could, in what I read about, what I wrote in the handout about these characters, we can see their whole life, but in this point in time, we don't know what they're going to be next. We have the advantage that we can go back and we know the whole story. And now we can pick out things and say, well, this is what David's problem was, what's going to lead to this. But when we're living in real time, we don't know that, do we? Oh, if I would have seen that, if I would have understood. How many times have you said that in your life? Oh, if I would have known then what I know now. Huh? Oh my, how different our life would be. And when we study Bible characters, we do have that advantage of hindsight, so to speak. And we have a different perspective in looking at David's life and looking at the situation with his son rising to the throne. And they weren't sure who's going to be the next king. They weren't sure what's going to happen to the empire or the kingdom. Just like we don't know who's going to win the election. I think either one's going to be a mess, but whatever coming up. But we don't have the advantage of looking back at what happened. And his contemporaries didn't have that advantage that you and I have today. And you see their loyalty shifting from one side to another and not sure who's on whose side. And such is the nature of real-time living. And more than that, we not only have hindsight, we have the record of God. We have God's perspective. Not David's perspective, not Absalom's perspective, but God's perspective of the whole thing. And I wonder sometimes in our lives how different we would see things if we were able to somehow, and this is a good exercise to try to practice in your life, is try to step out of your own understanding of things and see things not necessarily from the other person's perspective, but how does God see this whole thing? You know what God say? You're all a mess. And I'm not right and you're not wrong. You're not wrong and yeah, either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right. No, it's not that way. We're both wrong. We're both a mess. I don't have all the answers. David didn't have all the answers. Absalom didn't have all the answers. And his followers didn't have all the answers. But I do know this, that David was a man. And one of the things I like about the Bible is God points out the faults as well as the great things of our life. You know, when we talk about somebody, and again, I look at some folks that, when they come to church, as a pastor or even in a marriage situation, you know, your husband, your wife could do no wrong. But then when things get a little sideways, they could all of a sudden do nothing right. Isn't that the way it is? But God points out the good with the bad. It's not 100% good and 100% bad, or 100% bad and or 0%. Whatever. Strike that, reverse that. 100 or 0. It's not all good and all bad, or all bad and no good. But God sees both. The good and the bad. David was, after all, a man. He had a sin nature. Just like you and I have a sin nature. He lived of his own devices. He schemed, he planned, he tried to figure things out, he tried to work things out. One of the things that I like that I notice again in Sunday school is kind of mentioned that God was in control the whole time. But David thought he was figuring it out. You know, whether we figure it out or not, God ultimately has a plan and a program. And we don't know what it is. We just do best to follow him. You know, I learned this about prayer. Prayer is not me change. I used to think, well, if I pray hard enough, God will change this thing in my life. No, if I pray hard enough, I'll begin to see things the way God sees them. And God will change my perspective of things and realize, hey, I'm just as wrong as that person is wrong. I'm just a man. I'm a sinner, just like anybody else. David planned and schemed and figured things out, but God was the one who was ultimately in control. And I want to say this, the best of men, you see in your bulletin there, the best of men will fail. David was certainly a great man. We read in our verses this morning, you quoted the verse this morning, mostly had a verse from the book of Psalms. We attribute the book of Psalms from David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Of course, he didn't write all of the Psalms, but he was remembered as the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. But he did fail. And the best of men, I guess if there was such a thing as a worship leader, David would have been the best one there ever was. And yet, he failed. And the best of men will fail. You mark it down, they will fail. And also, we need to understand this. The best of men cannot get to heaven. There's nothing I can do to earn eternal life. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's no reason God would love me other than He's gracious enough to love me. There's no reason I should find favor in other than it was in the heart of God to forgive and to love us. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? I don't deserve it. You know, when we get to a place where we think we deserve something, isn't that the problem in our country today, in our world today? Everybody's entitled. They feel entitled to something. Well, I deserve this. Every commercial. Well, you deserve to have this. You know, you deserve to have this new car. You deserve to have this health plan. You deserve to have... I don't deserve anything. I deserve eternity in hell. I deserve death. That's what I deserve. Because I'm a lost sinner, but God in His mercy, God in His love, has allowed me to live. And not only that, God has provided a way for me to have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because I deserve it, but because He's gracious and He's kind and He's long-suffering and He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the best of men cannot get to heaven. None of us are good enough to get to heaven. Only Jesus is good enough to take us to heaven. And then I want you to see David was not only a man, but he was a man after God's own heart. He desired to know God personally. How can we know God personally? I talk about that a lot. Well, David knew Him, first of all, through salvation. Has there come a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? What a day that is. That was, that still is, because you have eternal life in Him. And you were born into God's eternal family on that day that you were born again. Isn't that good to know? That I'm saved for all eternity. Nothing can take it away. I want to look at a character next week that to me has been one of the most fascinating characters personally in studying the second half of this book. That I'm kind of anxious to get to him next week, but we'll wait till next week to get to him. And I want to tell you who it is. You can lay in suspense, all right? You'll forget that I even said that by next week. I'll forget that I said it in 5 minutes. So I'll forget it before you do, all right? But I'm so grateful that when God saved me, He remembers that my name's written in the book of life. Now, I may forget Him, but He's never going to forget me. I may forget the good things that He's done, but He's never going to forget because it's all about Him. It's not about me. And sometimes we think, man, I messed up so bad, God, I don't deserve this anymore. Are you sure that I'm... God said, no, you're still my child. I still love you. God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Aren't you glad for eternal life in Christ? We're saved for all eternity. Though we are just mankind, I mean that. There are men and women and children here, okay? I understand that. But mankind, and we are at best sinners. But it's only by God's grace. David sought God in salvation. David sought God in His mercy and grace. We talked about that with David's repentance. Psalm 51 ought to be a very familiar chapter to every one of us as a child of God. Unto thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And sometimes we get this idea in our head And I think it's the devil's trick into making us weak and unable to do anything for God. We think, well, grace was what I got when I got saved. That's all I need. No, that was just the beginning. Repentance was, oh yeah, I repented of my sin. I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, that's just the beginning. Would you be content with being a baby the rest of your life? Can I tell a story about your little daughter? Wearing a diaper? Yeah, she decided she didn't need a diaper anymore. She was walking around the gym. They're doing things that Jack was in there. And just crawling around the gym. I can tell that better have mom check the oil here. It looks like we're got full here. Might be time to change this filter. And a little while later, I just got me and Jack were running around doing something. A little while later, I thought, Evie's gone. But wait a minute. The diaper's still there. And there's a good, healthy gift inside of that diaper. But she ain't here no more. Uh-oh. Mom, something's missing here. I brought it. I think somebody lost this. Oh, boy. And aren't you glad you grew out of that stage? I don't have to be that way the rest of my life. I don't have to depend on others just to survive. I can get up. Well, I don't even want to know what Todd's thinking or saying over here. This is a bad time to look at him when you're talking about something like this. So, just Ben. Oh, I thought you were talking about Jake. But isn't it good to grow out of those stages and to mature? It's sad that a lot of folks, well, bless God, I'm saved, but I'm still a baby in Christ. We ought to be growing in the Lord and walking with Him, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. David sought for mercy and found God's grace. He learned to come boldly, as I love that verse in Hebrews 4, verse 16, to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may find mercy and obtain grace to help in our time of need. I'm so glad for His mercy and His grace. David found mercy and grace. You know, when I look at the life of David, I realize that we have a greater access to God's grace and mercy than David did. As great as he was in those great psalms that he gave us, we have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a knowledge of God's own Son that the Old Testament prophets and writers looked forward to. They longed for something that you and I have, but they never obtained it because Christ had not come into this world yet. They longed for the Messiah that was to come, but we look back in the Messiah in Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh and revealed to us not only the person of God, but the way of salvation, much clearer understanding than David had in his day. And we have a complete Bible that tells us the great promises in the New Testament that David never had access to. In fact, most of the Old Testament he never had access to. We have so much more available to us than David did. And yet, what are we doing with it? God blessed him, even in his sins and his failures. You ever get to the place where you think, well, I've messed up so bad, I don't think God can bless me anymore. I don't think any of us will go as deep. Well, we don't know. All of us are capable. I would assume that most people here are not going to commit adultery like David did. Most people, and maybe you might fall into that sin, but probably not many people in here, I hope not, would be a murderer like David was. But still, God's grace is sufficient. Where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Not that we should sin, but we know that when we do sin, when we fail, when we're broken, and by the way, I've learned this, that when we're broken, that's where God wants us to be, to get on the blessing side. When we think we've got it all figured out, God can't use us. When we've got our plan and our agenda and we are, okay, this is going to happen next and then we're going to do this, and God says, you just let that whole computer program just crash. Let your life just crash. And then let's see what happens. Then let's see what God can do. And David, of course, going into this conflict with his son, he began to start scheming, and he sent a spy in there to help God out. And God said, yeah, I can do this without your help, David. But, oh, we don't like to sit on the sidelines, do we? We got to try to fix things and try to figure things out. Oh, I love that verse. I've been meditating on that verse this week, and I put it in your bulletin there in 1 John chapter 1. I think the bulletin says verse 8 through 18. And you're going to look for a while before you find verse number 11 through 18 in 1 John. But maybe that's in the Pastor Fritz version. I don't know. But 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we look at David and say, boy, David messed up, but I'd never do that. Oh, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us, because God tells us what's in our heart. Now, we don't want to hear what's in our heart. Our heart's full of deceit and murder and corruption and vileness and envy and strife and all those the most evil, wicked things you can imagine. That's what God says is in my heart. I'm not going to trust my heart. I'm not going to believe in my heart. I'm not even going to get real religious and trust the heart of my heart. I'm not sure what that is, but some people have a couple of hearts, I think. But that's when you feel like you really want to make a point. That's like I double dog dog gun dare you or something like that in my heart of hearts. Well, I just believe this in my heart. No, I want to know what God says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, it's one thing to deceive others. It's amazing how easily we deceive ourselves. I think that we got it all figured out. Think that we have it all together. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we realize, you know, I'm a failure. I can't do it. I can't figure it out. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I love this, not just to forgive, but to cleanse us. If we accept His forgiveness and we accept His cleansing, but many times we want to earn His forgiveness or cover our sin. You know, it's natural, just like David did when he sinned, he tried to cover it up and thought he was doing pretty good until Nathan the prophet came along. And that's just our nature. We want to cover it up. And by the way, God is disgraced when that happens. And David never prospers when that happens. But when David was exposed for sin, he confessed his sin. God said, I'll forgive you. And he was broken for his sin. That's when God gets the glory. When God's grace begins to shine. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word righteousness, that is a key word in the Bible. And I, again, really just focus on that word. Since COVID came and we did a little study through the book of Romans, we do those things online. I hated doing that. And appreciate when the powers came. I said, boy, we like watching those things on the video. It's good, because I hated doing them. I don't think anybody else could stomach watching them. So I'm glad you guys got a blessing out. Maybe I did them just for you. But just studying through the book of Romans and that word righteousness. I have no righteousness. Only God is righteous. The only righteousness I can claim is His. And when I step aside and look to His righteousness, that's when righteousness can be seen in Christ, not in me. I'm never right. He's always right. I'm thankful for His righteousness. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In other words, cleanse me from myself. Because I have no righteousness. Just wash the dirt. You know, I'm the dirt on my hands that needs to be washed off. And if I say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. What a great truth that is. We say, oh, I'm sure glad I'm not a mess like David. Oh, I am a mess like David. I'm sure I'm not a mess like so. God pointed out their sin to help us see our sin. And oh, David was broken and therefore he was blessed. Help us to remember that we are first and foremost men and sinners in need of God's grace. And help us, Lord, to be men after God's own heart. Not after our devices, not figuring out ourselves, but after God and Him alone. Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you walking with Him today? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.